The reading this morning is from Ephesians 4, 1-16, out of the Common English Bible. Unity of the Body of Christ. Therefore, as prisoner for the Lord, I encourage you to live as people worthy of the call you received from God. Conduct yourselves with all humility, gentleness, and patience. Accept each other with love, and make an effort to preserve the unity of the Spirit with the peace that ties you together. You are one body and one Spirit, just as God also called you in one hope. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God, and one Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. God has given his grace to each one of us, measured out by the gift that is given by Christ. That's why the scripture says, when he climbed up to the heights, he captured prisoners, and he gave gifts to people. What does the phrase "he climbed up" mean if it doesn't mean that he had gone down into the lower regions, the earth? The one who went down is the same one who climbed up above all the heavens so that he might fill everything. He gave us some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and teachers. His purpose was to equip God's people for the work of serving and building up the body of Christ until we had all reached the unity of faith and knowledge of God's Son. God's goal is for us to become mature adults, to be fully grown, measured by the standard of the fullness of Christ. As a result, we aren't supposed to be infants any longer who can be tossed and blown around by every wind that comes from teaching with deceitful scheming and the tricks people play to deliberately mislead others. Instead, by speaking the truth with love, let's grow in every way into Christ, who is the head. The whole body grows from him as it is joined and held together by all the supporting ligaments. The body itself grows in that it builds itself up with love as each one does its part. Word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. In order to really understand our sermon illustration that I will be using today, I encourage you all to go to your favorite online search engine. No, not right this very moment, because it'll play a bunch of noise and then you won't hear me tell my wonderful sermon. But sometime this afternoon or in the coming week, go online and to your favorite search engine and look up National Geographic Ant Raft. Ant. Not the ant like an aunt and an uncle, but the ant like a bug. A-N-T. An ant raft, like a boat. You'll find a video there that is just shy of 2 minutes long. It's the very first one if you look up National Geographic Ant Raft. It's the very first video, so you can't miss it. Due to copyright laws, I do not wish to risk us being penalized for infringement, not so much at this service, but at the second service when we broadcast online. So I apologize if they don't get to see it, you don't get to see it. Go online. It's actually a very brilliant video. So go look at it online in the next day or so. I apologize in advance, and I offer you a warning ahead of time. For those of you who find yourself squeamish and squirming in your seat watching that video when you go to watch it, please forgive me. Today I'm going to try to draw three comparisons to the church. fire ants, house flies, and integrity. What on earth? House flies, fire ants, and integrity all have to do with the church. I'm not a huge fan of bugs myself, especially not the bugs that can cause me great pain or great frustration. Great frustration in the house flies, you know, that one that you're trying really desperately to sleep in and it keeps landing on your nose. Yeah, that one. Or the fire ants where you're, you know, hiking and all of a sudden it gets in your boot. I'm not a huge fan of those, but all that aside, I think that the example of the ants can be a great metaphor for the church. As you'll see in the video if you decide to watch it, fire ants often survive when hit by flash floods. They link together by clinging to one another to form a sort of a raft for the more vulnerable members to ride on. These rafts are able to repel water with their unique interlocking patterns. Amazingly, some ants remain below the surface, living on the air that is trapped below the formation for up to 2 months. Scientists have measured the strength of these ants and equated that strength to that of a person being able to suspend 6 elephants off of the ground. Approximately the strength of a small child when you try to take away something that they aren't supposed to have, I think. From a theological standpoint, this illustration is fascinating. If you were to drop a single ant into water, it would drown and it would die fairly quickly. Drop a tablespoon of ants into water, however, and they'll live through their interconnection. For any fans of the Netflix series Cobra Kai, and I must admit that it is my guilty pleasure. It's terrible, awful TV, but I love it. It's got a bad storyline, but it's my guilty pleasure, and you'll just have to forgive me for that. Anyway, the latest season has a great example of this theme as well. Without giving away anything in the plot, the good guys, a group of high school teenagers, find themselves having to work together to protect a basket of eggs from being destroyed by their karate master. Alone, they all fail in their efforts, but then they get a second chance, and together they succeed by protecting one another and their basket of eggs. The ant raft and the protect the egg exercise can be used to represent the church, relying on one another to survive when flooded with cultural confusion and media messages. Individual members exist to help one another. We all exist to help one another. Personal sacrifice is actually transformed into service to one another. That's the service. That service is only helpful when it is accepted and used by others. Most importantly, no one can survive on their own entirely. While I'm pretty sure that the Apostle Paul wasn't considering fire ants when he wrote the letter to the church in Ephesus, the lesson still stands. And furthermore, Proverbs 6:6. Says, "Go to the ant, you lazy bones. Consider its ways and be wise." That offers us a little further assistance, a little further substance. Paul desired unity among Jews and Gentiles, a call to mutuality and dependence. His vision for the church was that of humility in brokenness, gentleness in grace, and patience in imperfections. More on that in just a moment. At the expense of your slight discomfort, just one more time, I briefly draw your attention to that of the common housefly. You know, that one that carries all those gross illnesses. Don't worry, I don't plan to subject you to any further video ideas. You know what it's like. You have perfect idea of what those pesky hosting, infection hosting aviators are all about, no doubt. A redundant reminder to all of us. Instead, I want to talk about one of their better qualities. You see, houseflies actually do have good qualities. Scientists have long studied their ability, that is the housefly's ability, to walk on walls and ceilings without falling off. For this information, we turn to zygology, Z-Y-G-ology. Z-Y-G-O-L-O-G-Y, zygology. The study of bonding one thing to another. For something to adhere to another thing, two properties must be present: flow and bond. That is, one must be able to get into the holes, nooks, and crannies of the other, and also form a strong link between one object and the other. Pouring honey on a broken plate certainly has flow, as you can well imagine in your head. However, the sugar molecules in honey that are attracted to one another are not strong enough to hold anything of substance, leaving you with a really sticky, awful mess. Superglue, on the other hand, contains molecules that react with oxygen by expanding to form larger molecules. Now, zygology and ecclesiology, that is the study of church, ecclesiology are closely linked. Through Jesus Christ, the church has one common adhesive that binds the church together. Every denomination in the Christian world has its own individual kind of what makes it unique from one to the other, but we all have our one common adhesive. Jesus Christ is active in a variety of ways among those who believe in his power through our unique gifts. We read in verse 11 through 13 in Ephesians 4, the gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. God flows into the darkness as light, and God diminishes darkness. Jesus Christ flows between health and brokenness, healing a broken world. The Holy Spirit binds together the many diverse pieces of the sanctified and sinful church. And together, the triune God makes what once was many return back to one. Our part is to accept God's presence and power, allowing it to stick in our lives, allowing it to bond to our nooks and crannies and crevices and cracks. Of course, flowing inspiration isn't enough by itself. We must also have bond through speaking the truth in love, as Paul tells us in verse 15 of our chapter today. Truth and love are vital to the bonding reaction because Christ calls us to both justice and mercy. Truth without love will be perceived as judgmental, while love without truth is too watered down. One is too hard, the other too soft. In both cases, unable to form a true bond, instead passing away without notice. When both truth and love are combined, however, in the church, the body of Christ becomes strong and unbreakable. By speaking the truth in love, Paul suggests that we, quote, grow to become in every respect the mature body of Christ. From Christ, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up into love. Verses 15 and 16. The passage for today's message is one of my all-time favorites. I love this passage that draws attention to specific ideas. The more times a story, idea, phrase, or word appears in the Bible, that's a hint for us that the greater attention is intended by us, or intended for us, rather. Notice the word one in our passage today. It's repeated seven times in two verses. Seven times. There is one God, one body, one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, creator of all. At the heart of integrity is unity and oneness. Whole, complete, and undivided. A church with integrity is not going to show love in one situation and hatred in another, just like a company with integrity is not going to partner with another company that goes against their values in exchange for personal gain. In a society that pushes winning at all cost, I believe that the church with integrity is all that much more important, beloved church. Of course, simply putting church with integrity on our church sign out front wouldn't be nearly enough. Integrity requires action. One could now ask what sort of actions are involved in integrity. The Apostle Paul suggests that we live with humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing one another in love. Make every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Verses 2 and 3. Notice the vision for integrity here. The body of Christ joined and knit together with each other, with each part working properly, building itself up in love. This is the physical presence of Jesus manifest in our world today. Humility and gentleness are largely countercultural qualities. That's a hard thing to say. Countercultural qualities in our society that seems laser focused on rewarding aggressive self-promotion. Leaders are to exercise their gifts with humility and gentleness in order to, quote, equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building the body of Christ. Going on, patience isn't exactly an abundant supply in today's world. No doubt you are aware. With fast food, instant oil changes, Amazon ordering, and the internet in existence, it really is no wonder that we want what we want, and we want it now. Some of you may remember the old film, I believe it was made in the 70s, Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. The character Veruca Salt comes to mind for me here. I don't care how, I want it now. Yeah. The charge of the church takes work and effort. The charge of the church takes work and effort. While the Holy Spirit supplies the unity we seek, we must work to maintain the unity among one another. Unity, knowledge, and maturity are all qualities that take time to develop. We must be ardent in our quest for these things. Lastly, we must bear one another in love, making every effort to maintain the spirit, the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Beloved church, when we are faced with contentious issues, and please, please, please do not fool yourself, Mountain Vista United Methodist Church has its fair share of our own contentious issues. We're not even talking about the denomination. We could talk about that another time, but we have our own fair share of contentious issues right here in our own walls. When we are faced with contentious issues, we must not attack each other. We must not undermine one another. We must not try to gain victory over our brothers and sisters, but instead bear one another in love. Going back to the fire ants for just a second and taking the metaphor a layer deeper, if you watch the video at the very end about the last 15 or so seconds, they show fish that are eating away at the bottom of the raft. They're eating some of the fire ants there. The fish eating away at the raft from below can be viewed through the lens of the brokenness that exists in our world and in our church. When we gossip about one another in the church, we are eating away at the security and the safety of the very church. Instead, God calls us to speak directly with one another in a way that is honest and loving. A church with integrity does this because there is nothing more important than being the undivided body of Christ in the world. There is nothing more important than being the undivided body of Christ in the world. People are drawn to the church that makes every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. How can we possibly share the good news of Jesus Christ if we are putting every effort into proving one another wrong? Of course, there are times that we will disagree. There are times that we will disagree. When we do, not if, but when we do, we must speak the truth that has been revealed to us by God, and we do it in love, without belittling or beating up the other person who disagrees with us. That's a church with integrity. That's a church that is one. In the name of our Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, one God. Amen.